where your miracles are born. The places no one sees, where the broken start to heal and the captive hearts find peace. You don't always change the moment, but you change the heart within, and the storm that tried to break me becomes the place you stay.
But maybe you're just beginning. Hey, hey. I was standing in the room of the life I used to know. Every door was closed behind me, no more places left to go. Every answer turned to silence, every hope began to fade. Like a story left unfinished, like a price I couldn't pay. But in the quiet of the breaking, there was something still alive. Not a shout, but just a whisper telling me I would survive.
When you breathe again,
death things rise to life
again.
What I thought was over,
ooh,
you are starting once again.
When you breathe again,
Amen. Bless the Lord. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Amen. 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 We bless God for this another opportunity to be in His presence, to meet in a form like this. You know, we are online, we are in the comfort of our home. Or wherever you are on the road, driving, whatever you're doing, but it's a blessing. Amen. And as I said, often said, is not everyone has the liberty of being exposed to the word of God like we do. And as we study scripture, we realize that so was it in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. If we look at scriptures and we see coming up to the event of the birth of Christ, we see contributing factors that would usher in the birth of Christ, like the Roman roads, you know, the roads, it was structured, the government system structured, you know, the arts of the people have a certain structure to it that would usher in the birth of Christ. And so is it in the age that we're living in now. There are certain signs that are around us that would tell us that His coming is near. When you look at the highways that we have, you know, we are connected to other areas so quickly. You know, when we not even mention the highways, but you can send a message to the whole world on your cell phone right now if you know how to use it properly. The whole world get it. You can send a tweet. You can send it on Facebook. You can send it on Twitter. You can send it in so many ways. You can connect the whole world to you. Amen. And so we see signs of, and we also see divisions among people and family and religions and stuff. And we realize that people need a difference. They need a coming together. And we see all that coming together as we usher in the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we did Romans chapter 4, Sister Camille. Thank you, Sister Camille, for Abel leading us into Romans chapter 4, a very deep study. And I give God thanks for you. You know, Abraham was justified by faith, not by works. Amen. And I was away all the way in Canada last week attending my cousin's funeral, and but I was on nonetheless, and I was blessed. I was blessed by the presentation. To God be the glory, Amen. And so this week we're going to move on to Romans chapter 5. It's another challenging chapter, but learning it or being familiar with it will do us well. Amen. Let us pray as we begin. Lord, we want to give you thanks for your grace and for your mercies. We thank you for your love. We know, mighty God, that you love us so much so than how we would be presenting ourselves before you. Mighty God, we pray that you will cause us to have unwavering faith in you. A faith, mighty God, that can move mountains in our lives. A faith, mighty God, that will cause you, Lord, to honor our requests when we cry out to you. Mighty God, we pray that even now that you will be among us as a people. We pray, mighty God, that you will teach us. Oh God, your Holy Spirit teaches, and we pray for the Holy Spirit presence with us. Mighty God, we come against every distraction, anything, mighty God, that would take our focus away from your word. We dismiss it. We cut all ties with it in the name of Jesus. We pray, mighty God, for open hearts as we lay it all before you. We pray that your presence will come and you will be magnified. You will be big in our presence, Lord God. Let us see you, high and lifted up, shining, oh God, in glory and being glorified. Lord, we commit each member of this group into your hand. Everyone that is under the hearing of my voice. And I pray, God, that every need be met. In the name of Jesus, every weight, Lord, every sin, everything that so easily beset us will be laid down at your feet. And Lord God, as we would rise up, we would rise up worshiping and glorifying you for you, what all that you have done. In Christ's name, let teaching be easy as I give myself to you completely. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. How are you feeling this evening?
Amen.
Good, good,
Amen,
good.
God.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, yes,
Amen.
yes. Yes, we thank God. We thank God for you all. Yes, so, I know you're ready to go. Romans chapter 5. And is an essential passage in the New Testament that explore the themes of justification, grace. Is a contrast between Adam and Christ. I don't think we'll be able to get through with the entire chapter tonight, but if we don't start, we wouldn't know where the Holy Spirit would lead us. So let us just put our foot in the Jordan. Amen. So we can see it clearing the path for us. Bless the Lord. Anyone want to read for us verses 1 and 2? Romans chapter 5, 1 and 2. Anyone that is there? Any version?
Can I read?
Go ahead, sis.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you, sis. So Paul begins by stating that since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. This peace is made possible through grace, and it allows believers to stand confidently in their relationship with God. Paul would begin writing in chapter 5. He said, therefore. Whenever you read and you see the word therefore beginning a sentence, that means something must have been said before that. That is going to be essential to what he's going to say next. Amen. So Paul opens with the word therefore. Something that he had mentioned in chapter 1 through 4 to is going to is following up on that which he has mentioned. So in chapter 1 through 4, you'd mention that all humanity, whether you're a Jew or you're Greek Gentile, you stand guilty before God. Amen. You'd have mentioned that no one can declare righteous by observing the law, because the law only reveals sin. It doesn't correct it. It does show that you have a problem, but it doesn't fix the problem. The problem only can be fixed through the blood, the eternal covenant blood. Amen. And Paul would have also mentioned righteousness from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believes. You would have also mentioned in that coming up to chapter 5 that Abraham himself was justified not by works but by faith. Amen. So when Paul says therefore, he's drawing a grand conclusion, because justification is by faith and not by works. Justified by faith. He mentioned we are justified by faith. That's like a legal declaration that he's declaring. The word justify is a forensic term, a legal term. It does not mean made righteous in this sense of moral transformation, but it means declare, we are declare righteous. Amen. Acquitted, we are acquitted before the divine court. Amen. The emphasis here is by faith. This is a critical statement right here. By faith. Faith is not a meritorious work. It's not something you and I achieve on our own merit. It's like you and I empty hand that receive God's gift with our empty hands. It's like trust, all surrender to God's provision rather than confident in our own efforts. Amen. Paul mentioned that we now have peace with God. Who among us this evening who no one who have peace with God? You cannot fight God and win. We want to have peace with Him. We want to know that we are clean before God. Not that you can hide anything from God. He knows everything. But you don't want to be fooling yourself to be thinking that you can do any new old thing and get away with it because God missed that one or God didn't see that one. Know for sure that we are under the microscope, whether we sleep, whether we sometimes you have some dreams, you have to get up and repent. Sometimes you have some bad dreams, you have to just get up and just repent, because you see, you wake up feeling so filthy. You wake up feeling so defeated, even in your dreams. So know for sure. And you can even get sick in a dream as well. You can also get sick in your dream. You wake up with a headache. A headache that takes a while to get off you. So we have to be mindful of that. That is why it's so important before we go to sleep to cover ourselves under the blood. Amen. Don't just go to sleep just to for rest sake, because during that time of rest you can be attacked by legions and you are left uncovered. Amen. So before you go to sleep, cover yourself under the blood so that you won't be attacked in your subconscious, because the enemy is very subtle. And he want to he tries every way to take us down. Amen. So we want to have peace with God before we are justified. Before justification, humanity was in a state of enmity with God. We were enemies of God before We were justified by faith through Christ. Amen. God's wrath rested upon sinful humanity before justification. God's wrath rested upon sinful humanity. And there was a barrier, a sin barrier, separating humanity from a holy God. You know, so there was a barrier separating us before justification. But after justification comes the good news. The war is over. Amen. The legal charges have been dropped from us. We are now justified. We are now made right with God. God is no longer against us as a judge pronouncing condemnation. Amen. He is for us as Father, welcoming us home. Yes, we are no more condemned. The sentence has been lifted from us. We are reconciled. We are brought from hostility into harmony with our Creator. Amen. So it's no more enmity with God anymore. We are no more enemies of God. But we have come boldly now. We can come boldly to the throne of grace because the weight of sin has been lifted from us. And even if after we say yes to God and we fall short, we can still come boldly telling God, God, I have fallen short and I have sinned against you. Forgive me. I need to make it right with you. You know, we have this confidence in God now that we are now communicating with him. If you find yourself in a position where you can't communicate with God, you have a problem. You know, you have a problem that you need to fix. Amen. You need to be reconciled. This peace that we now have is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus being our mediator is a bridge. Is a gap. It bears it covers that gap so we can cross over. You know, he has absorbed God's wrath on the cross. The wrath that God would have for you and I before we accept him. God absorbed. He's the one. Jesus is the one that absorbed that wrath on the cross and made reconciliation possible. Peace was purchased at the cost of his precious blood of Jesus. Paul went on to say that through whom we have granted access, an open door, access. We now have an open door because of the covenant relationship now that we have. We have made peace with God. Before making peace with God, the doors were closed. You know, all that you were exposed to is to sin and wickedness. But now that you have made peace with God, you have now access and open door. Paul says that through Christ, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The word access has a rich meaning. It's used to describe in the olden days, like being ushered into the presence of a king. You know, in ancient courts, no one could approach the sovereign uninvited. You know, you couldn't go into the king uninvited. You would be killed. So a mediator or a court official would grant you access. For us, going to our Father God, Jesus is our mediator who brings us into the presence of the King of Kings. And that is something to give God thanks for, that we know of a mediator that can take us into the Holies of Holy. He tore down the veil that would separate the holy place from the Holies of Holy, that only the king, only the priest could have gone into once a year. You know, and when the priests would go into that holies of holy, they have to tie a rope on him that leads out to the outer, to the courtyard and the outside. Just in case he go in there and have any blemish or any spots of sin on him, and he would be struck down in the holies of holy. How many know that you cannot approach God in the holies of holy any old way? You have to be purified. You have to be cleansed. You have to be pure. You have to have clean hands and a pure heart. When the priest would go in there, if they are defiled in any way or have any unconfessed sin or anything that the blood did not atone for. And those times they were using the blood of a spotless lamb. So if he did not have offered up sacrifice for himself before going in there, wash his feet at the doorway in the lava, wash his feet, make evening a sign of cleanse, a sign of cleansing himself. He would have been struck down in there now, and each time, as each minute passed by or moment passed by, the people, Israelites in the outer court, in the courtyard, would tug on that rope to see if it still has resistance on it, or if when they tug on it, he is going to come out dead. They would tug on it. So we are now ushered in. We have an open access to God, and we give God thanks for that. And the access is by faith. Amen. It's not by any rituals, or not by your pedigree, or not by any performance that you can perform. It's by faith. Amen. And it's into grace. We do not receive a one-time act of grace. It's not a one-time act of grace to receive. We are ushered into the realm of grace. That means it's countless grace. Grace, grace, grace. Endless grace. We're ushered into it. It's an ongoing sphere of unmerited favor that we are now experienced to. The unmerited favor that you and I could not have earned or achieved by our own good works. It's God would have made that possible for us through his son, Christ Jesus. So we stand in that favor now, that grace. We stand in that open door. The Greek word that translates stand, in which we stand, carries the idea of preeminence, stability, unshakable firmness. So believers are not wobbling at the edge of God's favor, fearfully that we might fall off. Instead, we are standing securely in grace. We are standing firmly, and we are rooted and grounded now. This is the very art of our assurance as believers. Our standing with God depends not on our wavering faithfulness, because sometimes our faith waver, but it depends on the complete work of Christ, not on our little shady faithfulness that only become activated in the when the time is good, or when no rain is falling. And as soon as the rain start to fall in your life, as soon as you start to have a little hiccup, then your faith start to waver, whether or not these things are so, whether or not these things are so. In the good times, it's easy to have faith, amen? But in the bad time, it's like we become so rocky. You remember John the Baptist? John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, the forerunner of Jesus. You remember John the Baptist? That even Jesus said, ever since the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffer violence, but the violent take it by force. And Jesus would have accredited John the Baptist with so much so that he was the one who baptized Jesus, and he would have known that an event like that would be coming in the near future. Because he said, there's someone among us who is greater than I am, who's shoeless, I can't unloose and stuff. And he spoke so much about Jesus. He said, and then he said, behold the Lamb of God. And he saw there we see a sign of the Trinity there when the dove come and landed on Jesus, and they heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The words were heard by John the Baptist and all that were gathered there. Yet when John the Baptist was taken in prison and possible to be possibly beheaded, to be possibly killed in whatever way, he was asking his disciples to go to Jesus and ask them if he is the one, or should he expect another? After all that were unfolded before him, he's now at a place where he's kind of wavering whether or not there is another after Jesus. After all that he would have experienced and stuff, and Jesus would have said to the disciples, go and tell John what you have seen. Blind have eyes have been opened, deaf have heard, and all that was happening. So I'm saying that sometimes when we reach place where sometimes our faith begin to wobble, we need to really check in on our motives, really get back to basic, get back to the rooted and grounded in Christ. Paul would have mentioned that we boast in the hope of the glory of God. That's confident expectation. We boast. He said our boast now is in the hope of the glory of God. It's about finding our confidence, our identity, and joy in Him who God is. In who God is and what God has done, rather than in our own achievements. So our boasting now as children of God should be in the hope of the glory of God. Even though it's a short sentence, but it means it carries a lot of weight to it. It's very heavy. It's shifting pride away from ourselves and unto God. Shifting the pride away from ourselves and unto God, instead of looking what we did. Instead of look at what we did, it's now look at what God has done. Taking the boast away from ourselves and boasting in our God. It's trusting that God's character, His goodness, His power, His love is worth celebrating and relying on. We can now depend on Him. We can now rely on Him. He's finding our worth in being connected to God, not in status, success, or approval from others. So even if no one else approves you, and you know that you're doing the work of God, God approves you. Amen. So you can boast that God has approved you. Amen. The glory of God. This is the ultimate destiny of believers, to share in God's glory, to be fully conformed to the image of Christ, and to see God face to face, and to dwell in His radiant presence forever. It was Moses who said, I think it's in the book of Exodus, that said, God, show me your glory. That's the very character. That's the very, he want to know God in all his detailed. He want to know what makes God happy. He want to know what's making him sad. He want to know everything about him. He want to get to the root of the matter. Show me your glory. What makes you happy? I want to live in your glory. I want to know that what I do, I'm glorifying you. You are being happy with what I do. There is a joy that comes from what I do. So show me your glory. God would have mentioned to Moses that no one can see him and live. No one can see his face and live. And so that's where you'd get this song that said, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and covers me there with his hand." That's where you'd get that song would pen from that very occasion when that happened. Because God said, "I cannot show you my face, because if you see my face, you cannot stay in this world. You have to leave this world. You got to be transformed. You're going to die if you see my face. And I have work for you to do here on earth. So I'm going to place you in the cleft of the rock, put you in a hole in the rock, and then cover you there with my hands. And then I'm going to pass by you. And then you can see the back part of me. You can see a part of my glory there." But Moses would ask God with sincerity. He would ask him in faith, knowing that if he asks God for something, if he asks him for water, he's going to give him water. If he asks him for bread, he's going to give him. And not only for him alone, but for all of the Israelites that he would have freed from bondage. And God fulfilled that to Moses to show for Moses to see his glory. Years passed by. Moses was even out of this world by then. And it was on the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus was transfigured before his inner circle of disciples, James, Peter, and John. And he would have been transfigured there. And it was then that Moses and Elijah would now come down and see, and Jesus would be there, right there. And the glory would appear right there and then. They would see a magnificent picture of the glory right there. So much so that the disciples, Peter, he would say, "Let us make three tabernacles up here." And it shows a clear picture of the mindset of Peter then, of his mindset. He said, "Make three tabernacles." And he even mentioned who the three tabernacles were for. Not for James, Peter, and John, but it's for Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. He didn't care about his dwelling there, because he know that when he's next door to Jesus, when he is living next door to Jesus, that's all that really matters. He want to dwell in that glory so much. And so we as people of God need to have that mindset to see God's glory, because whenever we see that glory, we're going to want to remain in God's glory. We want to remain where God confide in us to reveal things to us, where God is able to use us for his purpose and for his glory. Is a place where you want to remain. Have you ever been in a church service? Have you ever been to church? And the presence of God was so much that you don't even want to leave. You want to stay in there. The glory of God shone and shine over the entire place. You feel like you could do anything. You feel like you could call 10,000 angels to rescue you from any situation that you're facing with. The glory of God is so splendid. It's so magnificent. It shines. The radiant that it carries, the radiant that it carries, it have a lasting effect on you. And you can call that a revival when the glory of God comes down. Amen. Amen. Any questions so far? Are you following? Are you there? Anyone there?
Amen.
Anyone online?
Yeah, man, we're following. We're here.
We're here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I was just
Praise
about to
God.
tug on that
Thank you,
rope.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes, Minister, I was just
Thank you,
about to tug on that
Jesus.
rope and see if you were
Thank you,
seen.
Lord.
If you were
Hallelujah.
seen in the
Jesus.
presence of
Thank you,
God.
Lord. We
Amen,
glorify
amen,
you, Lord.
amen.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank God, thank God. Amen. Yes, so the glory, we should all aim to see the glory of God. Let God be glorified. Amen. Glorify Him. When you are exposed to God's glory, is an occasion or a point where you don't want to let go of. You want to continue holding on to it. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. So sweet to know that
To
you are
trust
sealed
him
and
at his
anointed.
word. Hallelujah.
Yes. So sweet to know. When you come in contact with him and you are being made new, it's a sweet feeling. It's a
Almighty
sweet
God.
feeling. Very
Thank
sweet
you,
to
Jesus. Thank you,
experience
Lord.
God's glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And the glory of God is not a one-time thing, but it's a daily thing that you and I can experience. His glory, we can experience it every day. We can live in that renewedness, that sweet, sweet spirit. There is a sweet anointing, a sweet spirit that comes with the glory of God. When you come in contact with God's glory, it's like you are recharged, you are re-energized, you have something inside of you that keep telling you to go on, something that keep you want to press, something that keep you want to reach up for more. Some people, when they reach in God's glory, they just wish God would just take them home right there and then.
Amen.
It's like you don't want to live in this world of corruption
Hallelujah.
anymore. You just want to go home now. You're in God's glory. It's a sweet place, but God would continue to expose us to his glory from time to time to encourage the believers, to encourage us to live. And then he would take us, he would let us go back to our daily settings so that we now have a stronger testimony. Amen. Yes, so Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. Anyone there want to read for us Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5?
Yes, so not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Eva. Amen. So not only so, that's a startling addition to it. Paul has just declared in verse 1 and 2. Paul just declared in verse 1 and 2 that believers rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But look at the contrast now. Look at what's happening here now. Believers rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's a future radiant destiny that is mentioning right there, right? Rejoice in the hope. That's hope. Hope in the glory of God. But now he makes a statement that would have shocked the original audience, the Romans, those that he has, Jews that he has been writing to. We also hope in our sufferings. That sentence carries a lot of weight. We also hope in our suffering. I know people don't want to hear the word suffering. It seems as if you're under a curse when you suffer. But it depends on how you suffer. That makes the difference, how you suffer, why you suffer. You know, the phrase not only so connects this passage directly to the preceding verse. Paul is saying it's not only the future hope that gives us reason to boast. It's not only the hope that we have in Christ. Is not only that hope of the glory of God that we have that give us reason to boast, but our present suffering. I remember once in scripture, I was reading about the apostles, and when they preached the word, they were beaten because of the good news they proclaimed. They were beaten because of it, and they left rejoicing. The apostles, they would left rejoicing, and they would rejoice because they said they suffer for Christ. They're counted worthy to bear suffering for him. You know, and that is something to be admired, something to look at. You know, not only in the hope of the glory of God we suffer, but our present suffering. And hear what Paul said. We glory in our suffering. The word glory means to boast. We boast in it. It's the same word that is used in verse 2. You know, boast in the hope of glory. You know, yes, this does not mean that believers are immune to pain. We'll feel pain. And if it's hot, we're going to feel it. Amen. It's not something that we enjoy. It's not pain, is not something that we would want to be in every day. Paul is not glorifying suffering for its own sake, but rather is declaring that suffering for the believers is not meaningless. If you suffer for righteous cause, it is not meaningless. You know, it is not a wasted time, or is not a random thing. It is something to be boasting in. Look at young Joseph. He was there in the pit, and you thought that, you know, people thought that's the end. But he has a dream. He was taken Potiphar's house, then he was moved into prison. You know, it's like every time he step out to uphold righteousness, something would come into to like, you know, block his way forward. But he remains there in prison, suffered there in prison there, and he never have he never lose hope of his calling. You know, when the baker and the butler came there and stuff from Pharaoh's house, and they were told that there was a dreamer there that could interpret the dream that they had that caused them no ease. And they called for Joseph. While Joseph was in his suffering, was in his state of suffering, locked up in prison, they called for Joseph, and Joseph could have easily said, I'm not in that dreaming thing because it's my dream that brought me on this path that I'm on is my dream. You know, because I told my dream and people heard my dream, sun and the moon gonna bow down, the stars gonna bow down, and you know, and stuff. And I'm not in that dreaming thing anymore. But Joseph didn't lose sight of his calling. Joseph didn't lose sight of the anointing that was on him. You know, Joseph didn't lose sight of it, and he still interpreted the dreams for them and said, remember, and he would have told one that, remember me when you go back in the palace. And it was 2 years after. Somebody now tell me if that's not suffering. Even that even add on more to it. It was 2 years after that one that was restored to the kingdom, to the palace, actually remembered Joseph, a dreamer there in the prison. You know, and it's at that point that he was relieved of the prison of his prison garment, and is now made second in command in Pharaoh's house. In that providence. Amen. So the word for suffering means a pressure. It means affliction, tribulation, and distress. How many of you know, going through pressure, affliction, tribulation, and distress. Persecution. This encompasses persecution for our faith. How many of you have been persecuted for your faith? Persecuted for what you stand for in the gospel. Physical hardship. That persecution would mean like physical hardship and illness, emotional anguish and grief, social rejection, friends, your circle now becoming small because a lot of those so-called friends have jumped ship because from your start call out in the name of Jesus, from your start get stronger in faith, and to start depending on Jesus. They don't even want to have a conversation with you anymore because they know that within that conversation, you're going to mention something about Christ. And so you're rejected socially. You're being disregarded. Nobody wants to hear your point of view anymore. You're being like an outcast. And that's a form of persecution that we as Christians go through. Paul was speaking from experience. He was speaking from something that he knew something about. This Paul, if you look at his res as at Paul resume, it's well decorated. When you look at 2 Corinthians, I think it's 11, in the latter verse of 2 Corinthians 11, Paul would have written a colorful resume. I don't think any of you would want to carry that resume around with you. He said in his resume that he was beaten. 40 times escape one stripes that he received. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was imprisoned. And he faced constant danger. That was some of what he wrote on his resume that he has been through. So Paul is not, when Paul is talking about suffering and persecution and all that, is not theoretical. He's speaking his own life experience. And here's the golden chain. Here's the chain that you and I don't want to literally break. There's a chain of command right there. There's a chain. Right, is a golden chain. If you hold on to that golden chain and follow every link right to the end, you will do well. It's a sequence that is linked there. He's saying that suffering produces perseverance. That's the chain. Follow the link, He's saying suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance does not mean passive resignation, are you grinding your teeth when you come up on that the pain will stop when you face pain and opposition, you grind your teeth. That's not it's not that. It means steadfast endurance. You're going to endure with it despite whatever comes your way. You're going to endure with it. You have a patient stamina. There's a stamina. Your spiritual muscles are now being flexed. The ability to remain under pressure without collapsing or without abandoning your faith, without jumping off the boat. That's perseverance. You're going to hold on to the end. Comes what may, no matter what storm clouds may rock this ship of ours, no matter what billows blow, no matter what ear says, what people say about you, no matter what the devil and his angels try to accuse you of, you're still going to remain steadfast because now you have a muscle that grows stronger. And the only time your muscle can grow stronger is when it's subjected to resistance and strain. When you start to exercise it, that's the time it's going to come stronger. A tree root grows deeper only when it's subjected to strong wind. When the wind blows it start to anchor deeper so that that next time the wind come, it won't blow it out of socket, but it will remain. So similarly, spiritual endurance is forged in the furnace of affliction. That's doing afflictions. That's when your endurance gets stronger in him. Believers who have never, if you're a believer and you have never faced trials, face trials are of your faith untested. If you have an untested faith, it's going to be a shallow faith. If your faith is untested, it's going to be shallow. But those who have walked through fire, those believers, those of us who have walked through fire and kept, not only walked through fire, but kept trusting God, we develop now a battle test, resilient perseverance. It's tested in the fire. Fire tested faith. And it's not easily shaken because you know what you know. You have been there. You have done that. You know that your God is a redeemer. You know that your God is a provider. You know that he's a healer. Amen. You have proven him time and time again. So your faith is becoming deeper, is no more shallow because now it is tested and tried. Amen. Brother James would have mentioned the same thing when James said, consider it all pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. And what, still holding on to that golden chain, from the perseverance, it's going to lead to character. It's going to shape your character now. You have persevered. You have stand the test of time. And now your character is being affected by it. Your character now is being developed.
Yes.
Amen. Yes,
Amen.
it's been tested and it's becoming, it has been proven genuine. It has been solidified through trials. You have now reached a spiritual maturity, the depth of the soul that only comes through endurance. That's only come through endurance. Amen. This is not the character that comes from a comfortable life. The comfortable life doesn't produce that character. It is the character that has refined, armored, heated, and shaped, all sort of suffering would have combined together to refine and to develop that character. The character that would say that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The character that would say that I would rather listen to God, obey God more than man. The character that would say that I would stay in my present situation until my change come. The character that would say that no matter what, but that would even rebuked your helpmate and say, "Human, you speak like a fool." I would stay right in this situation until my change comes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. That's the character I'm talking about. Why does proven character produce hope? That's a question for us. Why does proven character produces hope? Because believers, why does it produce hope? Because believers who have endured suffering develop perseverance and have their character being refined by a track record of God's faithfulness. God would have sustained them when they had no strength. When they were at the verge of falling under. When they got this bad news from the doctor that the doctor cannot help anymore. God provided them with a way where there seems to be no way, when there is no way out. God came through for them. God comforted them when they were going through some griefs, when they were grieving some or the other. God came through in their worst moment. And they know that God is God and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. That's the character that we are shaping here. When we believe in God, the Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. That's how we get
Who? I
our
want my
faith
faith.
shaped, sharpened. Amen. Because it coming by hearing and hearing the word of God. The psalmist would have declared that I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, because he's now persevering, he's now developing character. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. And final point before we close off this evening is that hope does not make us shame. Hope does not make us ashamed. You know, hope does not put us to shame. So if we are having hope, we are having hope in Christ, don't let anybody derail you from the hope that you now have in Christ. You know, you don't want to misplace your hope in wealth, you know, because wealth can be lost overnight. You don't want to misplace your hope in human rulers, because they fail. People do fail. You know, you don't want to misplace your hope in human relationship neither, because people will disappoint you. You know, yes, so keep it grounded. You know, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 tells us that we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. The hope that we have is it anchors our soul, and it makes it firm and secure. Amen. Yes. Any questions before we close off tonight? Tonight we only could get to do 1 to 5, because this is such a deep passage and every word has so much weight to it. Any questions? Anything you want to add? Anything you want to share before we close off tonight? Come on, we're a family. We're all family. There must be something.
Very deep and comprehensive study, my brother. I'm
Amen, amen.
really blessed, really blessed. Yeah, praise God.
Bless the Lord, sis. Bless the Lord. Amen. Yes, indeed. As I was preparing this passage, I could feel what you call it now, the breakthroughs that would come from this passage itself, the depth of how it would take us, that depth that we need in order for us to grow and to secure our faith in Christ. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. 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 We want to thank Sister Minister Cairn for coming on this evening. To God be the glory. She has invited Sister White, Sister Kenesha White. We want you to feel, Minister Kenesha White, we want you to feel welcome with us. We want you to come back and join with us and possibly present for us one of these Saturdays. Can you bless the Lord, Sister Minister Kenesha?
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Thank you. It's a pleasure being online tonight, and I will thank God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Iron sharpeneth iron. We are happy to have you, Minister. We are happy to have you. Amen. Bless the Lord. All right. As we close off, before I invite Sister Jackie with the announcements or the reminders, anyone has any testimony, anything that you want to share to encourage the believers tonight? Anyone, anything?
Yes, Brother Scott. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Sister Pamela.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. About 2 weeks ago, my daughter, she had an interview with the embassy for the J1 program. She was a bit nervous and concerned when she reached the embassy. When she took out her documents out of the envelope, she did not take it out before. And she realized that, her transcript was from 2023 and that her status letters was not ready. So she actually went to the embassy for her J1 program without those two important documents, which they would normally ask for. She called me, panicking and said, "Mommy, I don't know what to do. I'm not going to get it." I know that. I told her, "Calm down, calm down. I'm going to call my prayer warrior," which I did, and she encouraged me. She said, the only thing that she said, "It is well. It is well." So I started praying and I called my daughter and let her know it is well. She went ahead to the to do the interview to for the interview at the embassy. They asked her for her documents, the exact ones, the transcript and the status letters. She said no, she didn't let she let them know that she didn't have it. And to God be the glory, she said, "Mommy, they gave me the pink paper."
Hallelujah.
Normally when they get those, like I think when they get the pink paper or the green paper, it means that you did not get the visa. But they still took the passport. And I said, "How?" And they gave you, that paper to say that it was not successful, for the visa, but they still took the passport. And I said, "Let God do." I said to her, "Jeb, let God do what he's doing." We prayed, and my sister said, "It is well." And to God be the glory, she got the visa. So
Hallelujah.
I'm giving God the glory, the honor, and the praise that regardless of, she did not have her documents that were required, she still got it. And I'm just trusting God and say, "God, you have this." And my sister, she encouraged me to say that this is just the beginning of God, working things out. And I just felt that peace. I just felt that peace, and I was trusting God that He will finish what He has started. And I'm just asking for prayer. Both children will be going on the program. And to be honest, I don't know how they're going to reach because the pocket money that they have to carry, that take with them, I don't know where it's coming from, but God. I'm telling myself, but God, it is well.
Amen.
So I'm just asking for prayer and I'm just worshiping God. I'm just thanking Him that He's a God of the impossible. He's a God of the impossible and He answered prayers. So this is my testimony, regardless that she did not have her documents, they gave her the wrong, the paper. I would say the wrong paper, but they still took the passport and she got the J1 visa. So I'm more than grateful. I'm grateful.
Hallelujah. Thanks
Yes,
for
I.
sharing, sis.
Yes,
Thanks for
thank
sharing. Yes, he who has started a good work will see it through to completion. Know that for sure. Pocket money will come. God who has started that good work, he will see it through to completion. So just hold on. He's not going to leave you halfway. He's not an halfway God. He's going to take you right through it. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. We want to welcome to Sister Palmer, Sister Lucille Palmer. We welcome you, Aunt Nell. We welcome you to God be the glory. It was good that you could come on this evening and worship with us. Can you bless the Lord? Sister Palmer. Right, she's still muted. All right, please remember to be praying for Dr. Allison and Minister Lynette. They're out of town on official business. A graduation service coming up, but they are still online. To God be the glory. You know, they are committed, they are devoted. We pray for them as they're out of town, even now. Amen.
Bless the
Amen.
Lord, Brother Everton. I'm happy to be on. I was a little slow in opening up.
You will get it right. You will get it right, Sister Palmer, Antonelle, you will get it right. Yes,
It was indeed a blessing. I
bless
came
the
on a
Lord.
little late, but what I got, I'm really blessed. I feel blessed. And I thank you so much. Continue the good work.
Amen. Bless the Lord. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Amen. And for all was joined tonight, visiting with us tonight, we want to welcome you to Sister All, Novelet All, Sister Novelet All. We give God thanks for you. Amen. We give God thanks for all of you tonight. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We want to invite Sister Jackie now, who will come with the reminders for us. Sister Jackie, are you ready?
Good evening, everyone. Yes,
Good
I'm
evening,
ready.
sis.
Okay. The reminders for tonight. On behalf of the leadership of Faith Defenders Bible Group, sorry, on behalf of the leadership of Faith Defenders Bible Study Group, it's my pleasure to welcome you. Faith Defenders Bible Study Group mission is to bring the hope of the gospel to our community and beyond. We are a non-denominational group dedicated to knowing Christ deeply and making him known. Through the authority of Scripture, we study to grow in wisdom and to actively share our faith in inviting others into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ and to build his kingdom one person at a time. It is our vision to see a transformed community where the hope of the gospel reaches every heart. We envision a growing body of believers rooted in the truth of God's word who are actively and personally sharing their faith, expanding the kingdom of God one person, one small group, and one transformed life at a time. For those who were able to attend our midweek fellowship last Thursday, we had our pre-Mother's Day celebration. If you missed it, we take this opportunity to wish all mothers, whether biological mothers, stepmothers, foster mothers, adopted mother, or spiritual mothers, a happy Mother's Day. The replay is available at www.prayerportal.com. To heaven.com. Be sure to join us this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for our monthly prayer meeting. This will be hosted by our partner ministry, Prayer Portal to Heaven Ministry International, on the same link. It promises to be a blessing. Post it on your status and invite everyone you know. Looking forward to seeing you all on Saturday at 8 p.m. for our regular Bible study. Have a productive week winning souls for Christ by the life you live and the words that you speak. Okay, so we hand over now to Sister Camille to close off in prayer and do the benediction. Have a good night.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Bless the
Bless the
Lord. Thank
Lord.
you.
Hallelujah.
Sister Jackie, God bless
Thank
you, people
you.
of God. I greet you well in the worthy and exalted name of Jesus. My voice is a little shaky tonight, but I stand in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And so tonight, as Deacon Scott would have shared, there are some things that would have jumped out at me, and I made a note, and I just want to highlight these things as we go, so that we can bring them with us and put them into practice. in our daily lives. He reminded us, Paul reminds us in the scripture that we should glory or boast in our sufferings for righteousness' sakes. Amen. Deacon Scott would have spoken of that golden chain, that which is basically saying that suffering produces perseverance. And suffering, as we know, is not something that we gladly hold on to or something that we want to hear. It sounds like an unpleasant experience, but this is what is used to produce patience. Amen. He shared that suffering is steadfast. It's steadfast endurance. And steadfast really means firm, unwavering, and determined. Amen. So if we have that firm, unwavering determination to endure, then that is what is going to produce perseverance in us. So when we flex our spiritual muscles, that is also when perseverance will birth. He spoke about those of us who have untested faith, that we will have a shallow faith, because our faith need to be fire tested in order to be able to stand. Fire tested faith, he reminds us, is unshakable. We're also reminded that faith, testing of the faith, is what produces character. Bless the Lord. The final thing that really stood out to me, he said, let us not misplace our hope, but let us ensure that our hope is grounded in God, because the hope that God gives is what allows us not to be ashamed. Any other hope can lead us to shame, to be ashamed. Amen. But the hope that the Lord gives is what will not allow us to be ashamed. So God bless you, Deacon Scott, for sharing in Bible study tonight. Well done. My heart was blessed. And so I bless the Lord for you and for this ministry. Ask that you agree with me as I pray in Jesus' name. Righteous God and our Father, we bless your name tonight, Lord. We honor you, Lord Jesus Christ, with our whole hearts because of who you are, Lord, and because of the fact that you deserve to be honored and glorified. We honor you, Lord God Almighty, because you are King, King of this universe, King of our lives, mighty God, King of our different situations. And though, Lord God Almighty, some of us might be in challenging situations, it will not determine whether or not we release the praise that you deserve unto you. And so as we come before you tonight, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your presence, the sweet, darling Holy Spirit that tabernacled with us tonight as we delve into your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for opening our minds and our intellects, that we are able to receive your word with understanding, knowing how to apply this word to our lives as we go forth. Mighty God, we pray that you will help us to embrace these words that were spoken to us tonight. Help us to receive them in our spirit,
Lord.
Lord, as they take root in our heart. We pray, Lord Jesus, that when the situations come that will test us, Lord God, test the manifestation of these words, that we will stand and we will pass
Hallelujah.
The test of time in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, though we might be in challenging situations, though we might be suffering, mighty God, in one area or another in our life, help us, Lord God Almighty, not to choose the easy way out, to complain, oh God Almighty, to murmur or to throw in the towel. But Lord, help us to, oh God, steadfastly endure that suffering, so that perseverance,
Lord.
Oh God Almighty, will birth within us. Because Lord, that is one, oh God Almighty, way that you will mold our godly character, oh Lord Jesus, through the testing of our faith. So Lord Jesus,
Mighty
help
God.
Us to stand. Help us to remember, Lord Jesus Christ, that through his faith, Abraham was declared righteous. And so, Lord, if we ever desire to be declared righteous in your sight, then we need to lift our faith to a new level in you.
Hallelujah.
Oh God Almighty, not just by word, Almighty God, but by works, in the name of Jesus Christ. We will not only speak it, but we will believe it. We will live it, mighty God. Hallelujah. That we will be able to experience the joy of the Lord and the victory that you give. I thank you tonight for our presenter. Your man servant, Lord. I thank you for keeping him. I thank you, Lord God Almighty, that
Yes,
week
Lord.
after week, as he prepare, you have poured strength into him. You have given him determination. I know, God Almighty, that sometimes it might be challenging. Sometimes it might be difficult. Sometimes there are other things that may want to come up. But Lord, he has made it up in his mind that this is his mandate. This is his assignment, and he will carry it
Hallelujah.
out well. And so God, week after week, he has made the sacrifice to spend in your presence, to tarry, oh
Oh,
God Almighty,
Jesus.
for a word as you feed him, and to come to feed, oh God, the people whom you have
Oh,
entrusted in
mighty
his
God,
care. And so I
Jesus.
thank you, Lord God Almighty, for that determination. I thank you for that level of commitment. And so God, I pray that you will
Thank you,
anoint him with
Jesus.
fresh anointing tonight, with fresh
Hallelujah.
wine in the name of
Thank you,
Jesus. Oh
Jesus.
God Almighty, have in store for him each week a new
Oh,
word, that he
Jesus.
may come and deposit a new word on the platform in the name of Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
I pray tonight, oh God Almighty, that you will be a hedge of protection around your manservant in the
Hallelujah.
name of Jesus. I stand in agreement with every prayer that he has prayed, every request
Hallelujah.
that he has put before you. I reiterate them tonight, asking you, Holy God,
Hallelujah.
that you will release them to him according to your divine will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we
Mighty
pray
God,
that you will bless
Jesus.
this ministry that you have given unto him, in Jesus' mighty name. Continue to pour out your fire within this ministry, Lord.
Yes,
Continue to
Lord.
pour out your spirit upon each of us who are a part of this ministry. Oh God, I pray that you will cause it to be separated, to be set
Hallelujah.
aside for you. Oh God, to be used to give you praise, glory, and honor. God Almighty, may this be the place, oh God, on a Saturday night, that your holy presence
Yes,
run to,
Lord.
hurry to, because Lord, we come with genuine prayers and authentic worship in the name of Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
We pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that you will work upon each of us as individuals, that we may continue to
Oh God,
stand in
thank
the
you,
name of
Jesus.
Jesus Christ
Yes,
of
Lord.
Nazareth, within one accord, Jesus Christ, single-minded in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that you will bless each
Hallelujah.
person on the platform, Lord. And as we leave, let the words take root in our hearts. And as we go forth this week and onwards,
Jesus.
may we become doers of this word, oh God, not just hearers, in the name of Jesus Christ. Cover him
Jesus.
under your blood, Lord God. Cover every person that is associated or affiliated with him. Cover his family, Lord, and release upon them your divine blessing. As we look to you tonight, we tell you thanks in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray and we say amen and amen
Amen.
and amen. Bless the
Amen.
Lord. Praise God. The Lord bless you tonight, people of God, and keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto each of you. May he lift up the light of his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Shalom. God bless you, people of God. Have a wonderful night.
Happy Mother's
Amen.
Day to all the mothers.
Yes. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Greet someone as you go in Jesus' name. Sister
Thank you.
Grant wasn't able to be on tonight. She had a graduation to attend too, so she was absent tonight. We continue to pray for her. Happy Mother's Day again, everyone. Greet someone as you
Thank
go
you. Happy
in
Mother's Day,
Jesus' name.
everyone. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.